Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Please join in reading from Psalm 107. We give you thanks, O God, for you are good. Your mercy endures forever.
The second reading is from the letter to the Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. It's a bumper sticker. It's a sign held aloft in a sports stadium. It's a soundbite. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This single passage has also, unfortunately, been used as a weapon to hurt and demean people who don't follow a very specific way of being Christian. It's likely that it's that history of misuse, more than the words of the verse itself, that so often make this a difficult passage for people who are seeking a liberating, loving, life-giving relationship with God. Context is critically important when you're wrestling with a difficult passage. So let's take some time and look at the context that surrounds John 3:16. In this case, I'm not going to talk much about historic or cultural context, as important as those are, but primarily about narrative context, about what is happening in the Gospel of John just before today's passage begins. This chapter of John starts with the appearance of a character named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who comes to talk with Jesus at night in the cover of darkness. Nicodemus was a deeply faithful religious leader, and he comes to Jesus trying to understand how this teacher, who is the source of so much controversy and conflict in his community, could also be the one doing all of these good and seemingly holy things, like healing the sick and casting out demons. It seems to Nicodemus that there is a contradiction here, and he is looking to Jesus for an answer. Jesus, in that way that he has, does not answer Nicodemus directly, but tells him instead that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. This becomes an exchange that leads to Nicodemus and many of us readers only becoming more confused. Questions of birth and rebirth, allusions to baptism, and references to the freedom of the Holy Spirit to blow where it will swirl through the first part of this chapter. Then, just before the passage we have today, there's a shift in tone and maybe in voice. The emphasis turns to a question about belief. Jesus, or maybe John, says, "If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." And then the first verse from today's passage immediately follows. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Some biblical scholars believe that these verses I've just cited are meant to be read as a narrative aside. They are more John speaking directly to his audience than Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Whoever it is that is speaking, there's a strange quality to these lines, which shift in and out of different perspectives, eventually referring to Jesus in the third person as the Son of Man, and talking about events out of chronological order. Jesus, or John, speaks here about the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ as a kind of eternally present reality, not as historical events that wouldn't even have happened yet at this point in the gospel. As Professor Lance Pape puts it, on balance, it is probably best to take these verses as depicting the words of Jesus, yet the meta character of this discourse is striking. Here we see Jesus offering a Christological reflection on himself. Now, I promise I'm not giving you all of this context just to avoid talking about what's difficult about John 3:16. One point I really want us to take away is that this whole passage is anything but a bumper sticker or a soundbite. It's complicated. Reducing it to something not just simple, but simplistic, does a disservice to the text and to all of us who struggle with it. Please don't make the mistake that the certainty that some people feel about this verse makes it incontrovertible truth. You've probably heard me say before that believing in God and having faith in Jesus is not the same as giving intellectual assent to a theory or principle. When it comes to God, and especially to Jesus, belief is about trust, about placing your life in someone's hands, about being willing to be guided by a power and a love far greater than anything our intellect or even our imagination can apprehend. But let me say it more clearly. Believing in Jesus so that we can have eternal life does not mean following certain religious rules so that you don't go to hell. If that's the interpretation of John 3:16 you've heard or assumed all your life, please sit with that for a minute. In fact, I hope you will take some time throughout the rest of Lent to dwell on the necessary corrective that is John 3:17, which says, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus came to offer salvation, not condemnation, eternal life, not despair. The love of God for us is unconditional. So why do we even need to believe anything then? Why didn't Jesus just swoop in and fix everything and save everyone and leave out all this talk about belief? To begin to answer this, I'd like us to go back to that image of Jesus being lifted up so that we can look at him and live. Just as the Israelites were advised to look at the serpent in the wilderness lifted up by Moses so that everyone who looked at it would live. There seems to be something about salvation, about truly eternal and abundant life that requires us to simply face reality. I believe that's what it means to look at Jesus lifted up. We need to look squarely at Jesus crucified, at the powers and principalities that demanded the death, the execution of this young teacher and healer who spoke so persuasively about liberating captives and bringing good news to the poor that people started to believe that a different way might really be possible. Something in us, in our world, did that terrible thing, and it continues to do unspeakably terrible things to this day. And We need to look squarely at Jesus lifted up in the sense of Jesus being exalted, living forever at the right hand of God, going ahead to prepare a place for us. All in all, we are called to face reality, to live in truth and light, not to look away from things that are either too troubling or too beautiful for us to understand. We too need to look in order to live. Now, of course, we are always free to choose the shadows, to choose distraction or numbing, to choose a life half lived. But if we want the fullness of life, the abundant life that God desires for us, then looking away is no longer an option. So when you're struggling with a passage in the Bible, think about whether the interpretation you've learned makes your life feel more abundant, more vital, more compassionate. Use your reason and experience to ask questions like, does the image of God in this liberate me from prejudice and a desire for conflict? Does it move me into a more loving stance toward my friends, my family, and even those people I find so difficult? Does the life it guides me into look anything like the life of Jesus, who was good news for the poor, the oppressed, and the brokenhearted? Do I believe that this passage interpreted this way fits with everything else I know about the God who created the world and called it good? Which brings us back to that simple word, believe. Writing about his own struggle with depression and despair, the novelist John Green has said, "Etymology dictionaries tell me that believe comes from the Proto-Germanic root meaning to hold dear or to care. I must choose to believe, to care, to hold dear. And so I keep going." This captures for me the sense of what it means to believe in Jesus. We too can choose to believe, not in a simplistic formula, but in life itself, and in the God who made it and sustains it, who loves us and loves our enemies too. We can choose to look at the world in all its terrible beauty, choose to look because we want to love it. We want to care for it and one another, to hold it all dear. And in making that choice, we will have life and have it abundantly. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and the world.
Creator Lord, you have given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, and the heart to accept your free gift of grace. Fill us now with the courage to step forward in faith, to repent of our sins, and to turn the life we have been given to your guidance and your service. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, impel the political leaders of our world, in our nation, and in our community to rally to your call and forsake the temptations of vanity, of power, and to govern with integrity, equity, and truth. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, fortify and energize all who are anointed to bring us your word and sacraments. As they shepherd us in faith, we walk together toward wholeness in you. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, our clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, sustain the faith and dispel the despair of all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and of all who attend to their needs. We now join our voices to pray aloud for all those in need, and especially those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, especially Gaza and Ukraine. We pray for our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and for Ryan J., Vivian R., Kimo and Deb K., Ellen and Tom M., Anthony C., Michael L., Garda J., Carol G., Mary H., James and Kathy W., David S., Susan and Jim W., the Reverend Mac Olson, and the Reverend Canon Kent McNair. I invite you to add your own petitions at this time, either silently or aloud.
O God of mercy,
and begin again.
Creator Lord, lift us from our grief into the hope of eternal life and joy, reunited with all who now live again in glory with you.
We pray for the repose of the soul of Ephraim and for his family and friends who mourn.
O God of mercy, we now
confess and begin again.
O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You may be seated for the announcements. Welcome to all of you who are watching us live. I hope there
There are people who maybe just woke up and thought they were getting ready for church and then decided that the computer was the way to go. Your yellow sheet does have a lot of announcements. It's just getting to be that time of year. So after church today, there are a couple of things going on. If you are willing to be in the Palm Sunday drama this year, it's only at the 10 o'clock service, but we do need a few more people. David Martin, can you just sort of raise your hand? He's way in the back, but he's very nice. And he'll be in the narthex after church, and just take a moment to say hi to him and find out what's involved with that. And we'd love to have you participate. After that, after today's service also, some of us are meeting in room 6 and 7. Ernie and I are going to be offering a workshop on how to plan a funeral or memorial service. And this is something that many people don't want to think about, and they leave it for someone else to do after they're gone. And really, it is a gift to those people who you leave behind, your loved ones, if you make some plans ahead of time, even if they're not going to be used for many, many, many years and decades. So I hope that some of you will come to that. If you need to stop and talk to David first, it's going to take us a little while to get things together. And before we start in room 6 and 7, just come when you can. We will have handouts and we will keep you up to speed. Okay, everything else in here is also really important, but I'm not going to read it all. We are having a Sing Spirituality in Nature gathering next Saturday. There's information in here about that. We are looking for organizations that we can use as the recipient of our Easter offering. We need those names fairly soon, so there's information about that and about so much more, all kinds of things that are coming up. I do know that our Holy Week schedule isn't in here, but we have published it several times and it's online. So please, if you're not going away for spring break, I say with like, oh, it's happening the same week. If you're going to be in town, I hope you will look at that schedule and sort of commit it to memory or put it in your calendar, because there are so many wonderful offerings during that week that really make the celebration of Easter so much richer and more meaningful. Also, I think Anthony has a little message to share with us. Why don't you come to the microphone, though? I know you have a good voice, but people online need to hear it too, and all of that. So Anthony Amato is the clerk of our vestry. He's in his second year on vestry and obviously a choir member.
Yeah, so as Pamela mentioned, I'm Anthony Amato. I'm a member of your vestry. A couple of years ago, I came to St. Martin's with the intention of becoming an Episcopal priest. And I'm really happy to announce that this last Tuesday I was accepted to Virginia Theological Seminary. So I'm really thankful to all of you, and especially to Pamela, for helping to guide me along the way, for motivating me to get as involved as I can in the parish. So I'm thankful to you and to everyone. So thank you.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure when this moment comes in the life of a parish that somebody that we've had at least a little bit of time to form and help shape into the sense of calling that he has. It also means that at some point this summer, we'll have to say goodbye to Anthony. But when you start seeing prayers in the prayers of the people for our seminarian, you will know who we're talking about. And we will definitely keep Anthony in prayers. I encourage all of you to do that as well. Do we have celebrations and milestones?
We do. We had, Deb Kimokeo had a birthday last week, and rumor has it that our senior warden, Neil Willits, has a birthday today, I believe.
I've heard that he has a birthday. I mean, most of us do. Oh, it's today. Oh, I get it. Okay, so good. So we have some birthdays. Gabe just had his birthday. He's always so quiet about that. Wonderful, Gabe. And yes, Nancy. Liz's birthday is coming up. And Helen Campbell, she's not here to say whether that's true or not, but I believe you. Let's see, Charlie, you're here, but Diane isn't. Diane posted on Facebook that this is a very important day, week, something, 25 years? Yes, so 25 years, is that right? Do I have the number? Okay, since Diane and the children, the Bamforth kids who aren't such little kids anymore, came to the U.S., and we're so lucky that the Bamforths decided to make that move. So for those, and I'm sure other celebrations and milestones, we turn to the prayers on page 5. And we say this together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have our two stations up front for communion. On this side, there will be intinction of the host into the wine. And on this side, we have the host and the chalice separately. So just come forward and pick the side that works best for you. We do have gluten-free communion wafers. If you need those, just let me know. You can also come forward and cross your arms, and that means that we will give you a blessing, but not communion. And if coming forward is a difficulty for you, just let one of the ushers know, and they will tell us so that we can bring communion to you. All are welcome to receive communion here at St. Martin's. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood he reconciled us, by his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only, and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
First in Spanish and then in English, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us eat the feast.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.